Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Abby D and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Monday, April 7th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 89. In the first paragraph, practical fear shows. Reading through one paragraph ending, remember they are very ill, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 steps, Anne Marie for the 12 traditions, Kathy S. reading the text, and Lynn F. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you so much to Tamara C., who is our backup reader this morning. The reference number for Sunday, April 6, 2025, for the special edition meeting is 22,320. That's 22320. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Thanks, Chris.
Hi, Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. Chris with a K. Here's a 12 step. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of this step, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks, Anne Marie.
Thanks, Abby. The 12 traditions. This is Anne Marie M., recovering compulsive overeater in South Carolina. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except as matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 89 in the first paragraph. Practical experience shows, reading through one paragraph ending, remember they are very ill, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. So I will now ask Kathy S. to begin reading. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Abby. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Chapter 7, Working with Others. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Paragraph filled with all kinds of stuff we could talk about, but that starting with the title, Working with Others, I've heard in this meeting, it's not working for others or working on others, but working with them in a side-by-side kind of manner. You know, I'm not above or beyond. It's a very humble approach and suggestion just to share my experience. I'm not here to counsel anyone or, you know, or change them. You know, I am not responsible for the outcome of their recovery. That's between them and God. It's just a matter of kind of being that link between them and God until they, you know, learn to rely upon a power greater than themselves. And I love how it says to this sentence that's tucked in there, you can help when no one else can. We know that I myself was very ill when I first came in here, and an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater are beyond human aid. Yet, as a recovered fellow, after working the steps and having a spiritual experience as the result of entire abstinence and doing this work, I can be helpful. I can be useful in a way that in a very unique way, in a way that professionals with degrees and all kinds of education cannot help. And it's practical experience, meaning that I have to do it. Practical experience in this idea of immunity, which I did look it up, is a condition of being able to resist a particular disease. In other words, it kind of has no effect on you. And this and it's practical experience because if I don't do this, this disease is coming right back. And we've all experienced, I should speak for myself, I have experienced that when things start feeling a little rocky and shaky, and first question I have to ask myself, am I working intensively with others, either as a sponsor or just making those outreach calls and being of service, even with my family? You know, I have to stay engaged in the fellowship because in any given moment, I mean, I'm as a real compulsive overeater, I do have that obsession that one day I can just eat and drink like others, and I can't. You know, I never have been able to. And so this idea of working with others keeps me safe. It keeps me that memory green, the memories of the horrible times of binging and suffering. And then to see how far I've come, you know, as a result of these steps, it's just an absolute beautiful experience and one you don't want to miss. So I know we've got a lot to say about this, and I'm going to end with that. So thanks, and I'll pass. Thanks, Abby.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy S., for getting us started this morning. All right, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share too. So who would like to share today?
Harlan G.
Kate from
Massachusetts. Nancy P.
Larry K.
Cameron.
Kelly G.
Vasa O.
All right, let's stop there. I have Harlan G., Kate from Massachusetts, Nancy P., Larry K., Tamara C., Kelly G., and Vasa O.
Lisa B. of South Carolina.
Lisa, I have you too. And so let's start with that. Harlan G., go ahead, followed by Kate from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Abby. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I believe that working the steps quickly is one of the keys to my recovery. One of the biggest reasons is this. Nothing ensures immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics, and I need to get to that spot as quickly as I can. One of the things that I'm reminded of constantly is on page 14, at the bottom of page 14, I call it Ebby's Legacy. It says very simply, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. And this is the line that grabs my attention. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. If he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Why did Bill Wilson stay sober when Ebby didn't? When Hank Parkhurst drank in September of 1939. Why did Bill stay sober when these guys didn't? It comes down to one word, sponsorship. Now, Bill was a lousy sponsor because he worked with people that didn't want to get sober, but he stayed sober. He stayed sober. Lois reminded him of this in March of 35. But the bottom line is still this. I have to sponsor to stay sober. Dr. Bob got sober on June the 17th, but it says June 10th, so we'll go with June 10th. June the 10th, 1935. On June 26th, 16 days after getting sober, he was working with Bill Dotson. How many of us were sponsoring 16 days after we get sober? And the reason is we have a protracted program that we've put all kinds of complexities into that don't belong there, that don't need to be there. I get my people through in about 11 to 12 to 14 days at the very most. I get them moving quickly. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm great and somebody else isn't. I'm just saying that's the approach that I take. And if we take this approach of getting through quickly, I think more of us will recover. The bottom line is we can be helpful when we can secure their confidence when others fail, because we speak and we understand the language of the heart. Our friend Kim G in New Jersey says, you're afraid to sponsor? You better be afraid not to sponsor, because I'm never going to do it perfectly. I have to divorce myself from results. Thanks, Abby, for your service. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Harlan.
This is Kate from
Massachusetts. Go right ahead. You're next.
This is Kate from Massachusetts. And I like to write each paragraph out myself. And what is with my highlighter, like, what is the message my higher power is giving me today? And the message that my higher power is giving me today is the practical experience shows. So it's you know, to start off step 12 by saying it's got to be practical and we've got to show it. And not only are we showing it in terms of being abstinent and all of that, but what really jumped out at me at this paragraph is you can. You can carry the message. You can help. You can secure their confidence. And no one else can. So the message to me for this paragraph is practical experience. You can, and no one else can. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much. That was Kate from Massachusetts. Kate, can you let us know what is your last initial? First initial of your last name, Kate?
P.
Kate D?
P, as in Paul.
Kate P from Massachusetts. All right, thank you so much. All right, next up we have Nancy P and then Larry K. Nancy, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. Recovered right now in North Carolina, but on my way back up to Boston later this morning. I love this paragraph. It proves everything to me. I mean, it takes us out of the lab and into real life, right? It's a practical experience. We're out of our lab, our protected environment of the book and going over the steps with our sponsors. And we're going to go out and put our money where our mouth is. And, you know, I also have something from Bill's story to share on this, which is on page 15, where it says, you know, it was fortunate for my old business associates who remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all the other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. And then it goes on to say, he's gone to the hospital. I'm talking to a man there. I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for a living that works in rough going. And then it says, after that, we commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we have, even under pressure and difficulty. And I think what this sentence proves to me in real life is that it works in rough going, but it works especially in rough going, and it works when all other measures failed, and in fact it works before other measures failed, and I would even go so far as to say it prevents all other measures from failing. This is the single most important thing that I do in my life, of anything that I do, including brushing my teeth and doing my laundry and cooking dinner and cutting and chopping. This work. And, you know, as a sponsor, yeah, I sponsor other people, and I'm always sponsoring hopefully more than one person or putting my name out there. But before I recovered, I was also working with other people. I was making phone calls when I didn't know people and saying, hi, how are you doing? Because I don't know, you know, none of us knows what someone's going to say when you call. And they might say, I'm so glad you called. They might say, I don't have time to talk. But, you know, they might say, thank goodness you called. I'm so glad you called at just the right time. Even if it's just to say, how you doing, and sharing your own joy of, you know, living in this solution. And it says here, it just struck me, that this is why you should always read this book with a group, you know, It's our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. It doesn't say, I mean, I just thought of this. It doesn't say have a spiritual experience, then work with other people. It says work with it, carry the message, however you can do it. You don't have to be recovered to carry the message. Even if you're not recovered, even if you're eating, you can call people up and say, don't eat. And if you're just working the steps and are newly not eating, you can say, I'm so grateful that I'm not eating. I mean, this is called seeding the ground, right? Putting seeds on the ground because you never know what's going to bloom. And, you know, I can say that, you know, I didn't know that this time around I wasn't going to have to eat again. I have not hurt myself with food in 7 years and 5 months now. Unbelievable. 7 years. I couldn't go seven minutes. I couldn't drive 7 miles. And today I'm happy, joyous, and free. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Tamara C.
Morning, Abby. This is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, studying our text is important. No question, we do it every morning. And this paragraph in particular is very important to me. But to me, studying this book without following its suggestions is kind of like, you ever study a map of a country rather than exploring the country itself? It's almost irrelevant. And that's what a lot of us do. See, it's not comfortable to be a Sherpa. It's very uncomfortable. It creates worries, maybe sort of a self-invalidation when a sponsee doesn't get well. Lots of things. But here's the thing. You know where I'm not going to find a spiritual awakening? In my comfort zone of my consciousness. That's where my comfort zone is perhaps the least likely place I'm going to encounter a total and complete transformation that's sustainable, both in mind and body. Why is that? Because it's in this space of like egoic comfort where I look to people, places, things, circumstances, validation for my fulfillment, for my happiness. This is where I will continually be disappointed again and again and again because I'm going to be placing an impossible demand on the world. I'm going to be placing an impossible demand on my sponsee to make me happy, make me right, make me feel better. But here's the irony: for every obstacle to my happiness, every obstacle to my fulfillment is an opportunity for an awakening. It's like a potential portal into the presence of God or a God consciousness, if you will. So then I get to bring the light of this God consciousness to every encounter, every problem, every human interaction with a sponsee. This disease doesn't need my invitation to come inside. And if I slam the door in its face, it might leave. But only so it can grab some friends to help break down the door. See, those friends include shame and disgust and fear and self-loathing. I need to sponsor to follow the suggestion. No one needs to get well. I hope they do. I hope they pick up this spiritual toolkit laid at their feet. But nothing will so much ensure my immunity as intensive work with other compulsive readers. If I don't do it, I'm not working this program of action. I'm not. And I won't stay well. If I got well, I won't stay well, I can assure you. With that, I pass. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you so much. That was Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Tamara C. Go right ahead, Tamara, followed by Kelly G.
Thank you, Abby. I appreciate your service. Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. And I'm just so thankful that for whatever reason, program, this disease that requires a solution that includes working with others, intensive work with others, that's life and death for us. And I thought, you know, what if it weren't? What if my sponsor didn't need to work with others? Where would that have left me? Well, my sponsor, she's so generous and giving that possibly she would do it anyway for the fun of it, the satisfaction, for the joy of passing on what she's been given. possibly, or maybe she could find that in other areas of her life. If this weren't life and death for us, I suspect that a lot of us would find reasons not to do it. Or maybe we would try with a couple of people and then feel like, okay, we paid it forward, now we can go live our lives. So I'm grateful that our initial motivation can be, if we don't, we'll die. But then, you know, we get into it. We start working with others, and we find a much better motivation, or a much more pleasant motivation, which is just the honor of it, that amazing feeling of usefulness, and the inspiration of seeing somebody else find this freedom that we have been given. And the reason I would be lost if I would possibly be dead today if my sponsor didn't work with others, because no one other than a compulsive overeater could help me. Not my family who loves me, not my friends, health professionals, spiritual advisors. Only someone who had been through the misery and despair could understand my powerlessness and my desperation. And for my sponsor, I heard her on the line. I heard her experience with the pain of this addiction. And I also heard the quiet peace of her recovery and her freedom. So I was willing to trust her, to listen to her, to take direction from her so I could get what she had. And now I do find protection from compulsive overeating as I get to witness the growth in the people that I work with. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Tamara C. All right, next up we have Kelly G, followed by Vasa O.
Good morning, Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you, Abby, for your service. I really love this paragraph because when I wake up every morning, it is, who can serve Kelly today? Like, I, not only that, but also, like, what can I fix about myself? What can I distract myself with? It's all about me. And the only defense against that is when I get out of my own head. And how do I do that? I cannot do that on my own, thinking my way out of my own head. I must think of others. And I must work with others because I am in jeopardy of my abstinence, of my happiness, of my fulfillment, of my purpose in this world by helping others. And no, it's not always fun to pick up the phone. It's not always fun to step away from whatever I want to be doing or whatever I am doing to make time to work with somebody else. I admit it, it's not ideal, not at all times, but the inconvenience of myself is where the self-centeredness melts away. And it's so easy for me to forget because I can get into a rhythm where I'm just going, which is really where I thrive because then I don't have any time to pause or think about anything. And I can realize, you know what, I'm so unhappy and everything's bothering me. Everyone's bothering me. And what's missing? The intensive work with others. And I can't afford to not do that today. And when I don't have a sponsee and when I'm not working with others and I'm not connecting with fellows throughout the day, it constantly feels like there's this pebble in my shoe. Like something's just like off. Like, yeah, maybe things are going well at work. Maybe things are going easy in the world. There's nobody in traffic that's bothering me. My dad didn't make any comments. I'm not feeling bad about myself for something, but it's like there's always that pebble in my shoe because I have a responsibility today. I can't get away with doing the bare minimum because as an addict, I want to do the bare minimum with the most profit gain. Like I want to just do as little as possible to get the most reward. And like this disease doesn't do shortcuts because God's watching. And I never had that relationship with a higher power where like even in the silence, even in the confines of my own apartment where I live with me, myself, and I, God is watching. God is with me. I can't get away with anything. And nor do I want to today. I need the discipline. I need the parenting, because left to my own devices, I'm sunk. So intensive work with others is so crucial. I'm so grateful to have two new sponsees. And God works in funny ways, because the other day, oh, thanks so much. Have a great one.
Thank you so much, KG in Florida. Next up, we have Vasa O, followed by Lisa B in South Carolina. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Vasa O, calling from Porchada, Florida. Thank you, Abby, for your service, and thank you for everybody's service. And this is my life, you know, when I came to the program. And I'm so grateful that my sponsor gave me whatever she could in her power. And the only thing she said to me, I remember saying to me, I just want you to give it out there. It's the 12-step. Help others freely, like she's done. We've been together for many, many, many years. She said, I don't expect nothing from you. Just pass it on to other people that are struggling with their addiction, whatever their addiction is. Mine, of course, is food, number one. And, you know, I tried everything for 25 years of my lifetime to figure out how to put the food down, diets, everything else. None of it worked. She won my confidence within few minutes. You know, it was amazing, a miracle thing. She just shared her experience, strength, and hope. And she said, you know what? This has worked for me. If it's working for me, it's going to work for you. And that's what I needed to hear, because I saw her right here in front. I'm like right in my, she was my Abby. She came to visit me at my house. We had been friends for years. You know, she got into programs and she gave me hope. I had no hope. And she shared her experience with her hope. She gave me hope. And I haven't left. And a lot of people are saying, you're so lucky. You've put the food down for 40 years. How could that be? Well, that is because I've continued working my program to the best of my abilities. I don't do it perfectly, but I keep on working through it, through life as I go being abstinent. So, and my sponsor said, I'm not responsible for your recovery. She gave me the program. I needed to take responsibilities, and I need to do it. She couldn't do it for me, but the only way I could do it, by coming to the meetings, working the steps to the best of my abilities, and this is what I do. I wanted to give it to everybody when I came in the program, because I heard the solution, of course. And some people want it, some people don't, or some people don't believe in it, but I have to let go, put them in God's hands. I have sponsees. I'm being sponsored, and I wouldn't give it up for millions and millions of dollars, the life that I have received in recovery. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa O. And next up, we have Lisa B. from South Carolina.
Good morning, Abby. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. This has been so powerful, the reading and the shares. I just have been really hanging on all of the words that I'm hearing. I love where it says, you can help when no one else can. So the disease of compulsive overeating is so much about hopelessness. And it says, I can secure their confidence when others fail. This is an altruistic movement, and it equals happiness. You know, it equals happiness. And I know the way out, because I have gone through this myself as a compulsive overeater. And I can put my hand in their hand, and I can show them the way, and I can share with them the solution. You know, God is the serotonin factor. And that's what I've uncovered as a result of going through these steps. And everyone is sharing this morning are amazing powers of example. But, you know, we can be examples of the power, the higher power, the highest power that we each uncover as we go through this work. And I can share with them
what happened to me when I cracked open this book, how I learned about that the age of miracles, you know, it's still with us. I'm just so grateful that there is a way out that frees me from that bondage of self, that I learn through these habits and I develop a character, you know, I develop character building as a result of going through the steps. And I've always said working with others for me has been like playing the violin in public. I learn so much about myself, and it's at times painful and difficult because I stumble over myself in my character defects, but I keep trudging along, you know, working with others and sharing with them how I'm growing in this program and how I have to keep doing this. They're helping me more than I'm helping them, and I really need them probably more than they need me. But I know that my sponsor called me to welcome me as a newcomer when I introduced myself on this line, and that's what I do. I call and I welcome others, and I share with them this message that I found. I did not believe that you can have abstinence and do it long-term or permanently and do it happily. You know, to me, abstinence is like pain and suffering. I had no idea what I was going to be coming in contact with as a result of doing these steps in a state of abstinence and working with a recovered sponsor. So I needed to hear everything that I heard on the line this morning, and I thank you all. I'm so grateful to be here, and I spell my name L-E-S-A if anyone wants to look me up. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Lisa B. from South Carolina. We are going to take another lineup. So I just want to say, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Rick J., North Carolina.
Rick J. Maria H. in Georgia.
Kim A.
in Michigan. Connie Yetta.
All right. Here's what I got. Rick J. in North Carolina. Was it Malia H. in Georgia? Kim A. Hanietta.
Lisa B.
from Florida.
Lisa B. And who is that from Florida?
Bonnie B.
Okay, let's stop there.
David M.
I have Rick J. from North Carolina, Malia H. from Georgia, Kim A., Hanietta, Lisa B. and Bonnie from Florida. Let's start with that. All right, Rick J. in North Carolina, followed by Malia H. in Georgia. Go right ahead,
hey.
Rick.
Oh, hey, Abby. Good morning. Thanks for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. For me, the 12 steps, you know, I boil it down to just two words, release and connect, you know. And you know, going through the steps, you know, I certainly had to be to a point where I was releasing the things that were blocking me from the power that will transform me. And of course, before I even get to the release, I have to believe that I am powerless. And I have to believe that only a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And I have to make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And, you know, we get guidance in the book, and we also, you know, the crucial aspect of that is we get the connection with our sponsors as they're helping us release, you know. And disease of isolation and a recovery of connection, you know. And as I'm going through this continual process in 10 and 11 on a daily basis of release and connect, that's the message of depth and weight that I have to carry on to someone else, just like they carry it to me. And there's no words that can describe that feeling of connection. I've heard it called spiritual math, 1 + 1 = 3. When two addicts are connected with one another, God is always there. And I feel that. I feel that in a way I don't feel it anywhere else. And I can't really describe it. Though, you know, someone else who experiences that understands what I'm talking about. And I love how I can have insights and inspiration when I'm talking with my sponsor, and I can have moments of insight and inspiration when my a sponsee is sharing with me, or someone who's just made an outreach call. You know, working with others, you know, it's the fellowship, right? It is the ingredient of that connection with someone on a different level, on a spiritual plane that I don't get anywhere else. And I've gone through periods of time where I haven't been able to sponsor, you know, as much as I would like because of being sick and, you know, whatever. But I always have what I need in my life. I have the people that God puts in my life. And I'm so grateful for the people that I'm working with, because they can say the thing or see something as they're going through that transformation that moves me like no other way. And there's been times where they might be experiencing something that I don't have any experience with, or they have a question that I don't have the answer to. And three beautiful words I've learned: I don't know. And I can connect them with someone who's got that experience. Anyway, I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Rick J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Malia H. from Georgia, and then Kim A.
What page and paragraph?
We are on page 89 in the very first paragraph, Practical Experience Shows. All right, let's get back to our lineup. Malia H. from Georgia, followed by Kim A. Go ahead, Malia.
Good morning. It's Maria, M-A-R-I-A, in Georgia, recovered one day at a time. Thank you for taking the meeting, Abby. I looked up the word immunity because all I can think of is the medical definition. And the word is in the dictionary, says protection from something. And selfishly, you know, I want that protection, but I'm not always willing to do the work that is required. And the work that's required is to sponsor other people. And, you know, what I've learned in several relapses is that, you know, I have to continue to work in 10, 11, and especially 12. You know, we're not meant to keep this. We're meant to give this away. No doctor, no medical professional, no therapist can speak the language of the heart like someone who has recovered from this disease has. The miracle for me is going from eating boxes and bags and large quantities of food to being free of the compulsion of overeating and the obsession of the mind in just a matter of weeks. You know, I am free. I am free. And it's my duty and my responsibility to carry this on to somebody else selfishly, so I can, you know, not be caught up in that eating and the obsessive thinking again. But also, there is a gift, an intrinsic gift to me when I share this message with somebody else. I've proved to myself over and over and over that I can't do this on my own. So I seek a sponsor. I have that transformation as a result of, you know, the steps and ultimately that connection with the higher power. But this is a spiritual program that is transmitted from one to another through the work of a higher power. And what I'm often reminded of is that, you know, Bill worked with many people and they didn't stay sober. And what Lois said, you know, I may be misquoting, but, you know, Lois said, but you did. You stayed sober. So that's the message to me, is that if I want to stay sober and free of the compulsive eating and the compulsive thinking, I have to pass this on. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Maria H. from Georgia. Next up, we have Kim A., followed by Hannah Yetta. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. Hi, this is Kim A. from New York City. So, you know, there's a reason why there's an entire chapter dedicated to step 12. It's the only step that has like its own chapter, right? And we know that this whole book was written based on experience, right? It wasn't written by like authors or doctors. It was the alcoholics themselves and it's their experience what actually worked. And so in this chapter, we're being given so much direction, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, because they know that this is the only thing that's going to keep us recovered, this and, you know, the growing steps, steps 10, 11, and 12. And it is telling us that there's nothing else we can do. These other activities, they're going to fail us. And these are the activities that I know for me, I used to try to stay recovered in the past. I wasn't even recovered. I didn't even really know what that meant. I thought it meant following a food plan and not compulsively eating. And I tried, you know, I was praying and I was going to a meeting a day and I was making all these calls. That wasn't these other activities that they're referring to. They're referring to, as they call it, intensive work. So I don't have to want a sponsor. I don't have to think I can sponsor. I don't have to feel ready. I have to do it. When my sponsor tells me, like, it's time, right? I mean, even if I have one more week recovery, not abstinence, recovery, than a newcomer, I have a message to give, right? And sometimes that message can be that I was floundering around for 20 years, unable to find freedom or recovery, right? I mean, we find out that, and I'm totally paraphrasing, but I think it's in the Family After, they say that, like, our best asset is our dark past. So we don't have to be these, like, bastions of recovery. We don't have to know what to say. We don't even have to know what to do beyond that next phone call. That's what our sponsors are for, right? We're not responsible for outcomes. That's our higher power. If we're trying to, like, direct the trajectory of how we're helping people or how our recovery is going even, then we're putting that director hat back on. So all I have to do is pray for the willingness to sponsor, pray for the willingness to go out and find newcomers. They're not going to come knocking on my door all the time, right? I have to go out and find them. And carrying this message means that I have hope to give, I have strength to give, and for me, I have kind of like, you know, a sob story of how, you know, for 20 years, I was obsessed, no matter how much I tried to stick to a food plan, like I wasn't getting it, like stuff proves to be helpful because there are so many people who can relate to that. And when I can now show up and say, hey, I'm recovered, and it didn't have anything to do with food. It had to do with following these steps. Thank you. Working these steps quickly out of the book is the only thing that ever helped me, and the food fell into place. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kim A. from New York. Next up, we have Hanayeta. Go right ahead.
Good morning, dear. Thank you for your service. This is Hanayeta R., excuse me, from Texas, recovered compulsive overeater. And I love all the chapters. I love it. Ironically, working with others, chapter 7 is on the 12th step, and it's 12 pages long. But the first paragraph, and it, first of all, when I came into program in 1981, there were 5 people at the meeting, and I took the first step. We worked the first step. There was one person that was abstinent. She became my sponsor, but she was from Florida, actually, and I was in Kentucky, and so she had already been through all the steps. But then there were only 5 people at that meeting, and if anybody came into the meeting, I mean, she couldn't sponsor everybody that came in. So I had taken the first 3 steps. Well, after the first step, I went out and started wanting to tell everybody in lines and whatever, wherever I could meet people, wherever I saw people, I would tell them about this program. I did the 1-12 shuffle. But I did do the first 3 steps, and then some new people started coming. And I started sponsoring because she said, you know, I can't do everybody, and you have more time than they have. As long as you stay ahead of them in the steps, and you can be their sponsor. And so that's what I did. I started sponsoring very, very early. way before I'd finished the steps, and I was just getting into step four. But, you know, it did keep me abstinent, and I cannot tell you how wonderful of a feeling that is. But I was the kind of person who wanted to make a picture, a button with a picture of how I looked, because I lost my weight really quickly. And I wanted to put a button of how I looked before and a thing that said, ask me, because that was a big thing back then. There were buttons that said, ask me about everything. But I was so wanting to share this program with everyone. And I'll tell you, I actually did bring a couple of people into program like that. But I learned really quickly that that's not really how we're supposed to do it, although Bill did go to the gutters and everything, and he found people that were really sick and suffering. And I did go to hospitals. We started a couple of meetings in hospitals for eating disorders, and we did meetings for them. So I was a real huge worker of working with others, and I'm going to tell you, it was wonderful. My time's up. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. And I love this program. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. That was Hannah Yessa R. from Texas. All right. Do we have another Lisa B.?
Yes, this is Lisa B. from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The disease tells me that I'm a failure because I haven't found a sponsee recently. But I continue to try. You know, I've talked to my sponsor about it multiple times, and she's so encouraging and helpful. She said, you know, keep trying. I mean, it's difficult to find somebody who is willing to do the work. In the beginning, I wasn't willing to do the work either. But in the meantime, I can attempt to be of service. I'll put myself out there for service a lot. Could I do it better? Absolutely. But periodically, you know, I kind of slack off, and I'm human. The disease tells me that I haven't found one. Just give up. You know, nobody can work with your work schedule. It's not true. God will work it out. And they say, you know, when the teacher is ready, the student appears, and vice versa. I do the best that I can, and that's good enough. I mean, but I have to keep striving and trying to do better, you know, and it's working for me. Thank God. You know, I would like to have a sponsee, but it is challenging at times. And I kind of wanted to share that so that others that may be in the same boat know they're not alone. So thank you for letting me share. This is an awesome program, awesome paragraph. It really resonates with me. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Lisa B. from Michigan. And Bonnie B., we have like 1.5 minutes for you. So Bonnie B. from Florida, go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Abby. And I was unmuting. Is it 3 minutes or is it less than that, dear?
It's like a minute and a half.
Okay, I'll try to make this really quick. So when I came in the program, the whole Step 12 thing was really, Bonnie B. from Florida, gratefully recovered by the grace of God today. The whole 12 step thing, or the Step 12, was overwhelming to me because I could not imagine giving away what someone had given to me. And what it came down to in the end was ego, just ego 101. I was certain that I couldn't sponsor. I was confident that I couldn't sponsor like other people sponsored. And you know what I did? I didn't sponsor. I did 1 through 11, and I convinced myself that if I just call newcomers, and if I just, you know, go to the meetings, and if I just do service, then it's all good. But my experience is no, that's not how the game is played. And I did relapse, and the person who took me through the steps said, it's not step 1 to 11, it's 1 to 12. So this is my encouragement to others. If there's fear within you, because there was fear within me, that's just my ego. Someone said to me, that's hilarious. Do you think it's you that gets them recovered? It's not you. It's God that does it. We just take their hand and we put their hand into the hand of their God. And if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. So taking me out of the equation completely freed me up. It was a game changer for me. Yes, sponsoring is one of the highlights of my life right now. And it went from I have to sponsor to I get to sponsor. Totally different. Completely different. Now, okay, thank you so much, Abby. I'll pass it back. Blessings to everyone. Have an amazing day.
All right. Thank you so much for everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. So the share ID for today, Monday, April 7th, 2025, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,321. That's 22321. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until, keep you until then.
Hi, everyone. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for the wonderful meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.